This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
Last week, we started a series of messages on the development of character. And we're going to talk about, in this series, the various things that go into the development of godly character. But the one thing that's at the bottom of what we're talking about, the one thing that we all need to know and all need to have firmly in mind, I mean deep down in our minds, in our understanding, deep within our spirits, so that there's no question about it, so that nothing that happens can shake it. We need to know that what God intends in our life is something good. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now let me ask a question. How many of us in this room today are facing right now some kind of challenge in our lives? We're all facing challenges. We are all facing things that are difficult for us. Things that if we had the choice, we wouldn't have in our lives. Amen? And so we need to know that God has already told us that even in the midst of the challenges that we're facing, even in the midst of the difficult situation that we would want to do anything we could do to get rid of in our lives, even in the midst of that, His purpose and His plan is that He wants to prosper us, give us a hope, give us a future. That's what it's all about. Whatever it looks like in your life right now, whatever kind of valley you might be going through right now, God's purpose in that is to prosper you, to give you hope, and to give you a future. Well, then you might be saying, well, wait a minute. It certainly doesn't look that way from where I sit. If God's plan is to prosper me, why doesn't He just prosper me? Why am I going through what I'm going through? God's desire is to elevate us to a high place. He wants our lives to have impact. We saw in Bible study that it tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are His workmanship, that before the foundation of the world, He created us exactly the way He wants us to be, to accomplish exactly the work that He wants us to accomplish. God has already done that. That's the way He made us. That's His intention for us. But guess what? Scripture says we start as babes in Christ. Amen? What do babies know? What do babies know? What's a baby's job? To grow and to develop and to learn. To become that person that he is destined to be. We're just like the baby. We started as babes in Christ. And you know what God has to do? He has to grow us. He has to develop us. God has a program of development in order that we might become the man, the woman of God that He intends for us to be, and in order that we might be prepared to occupy that place that God preordained for us before the foundation of the world. We have to go through that program of development. God showed Joseph that He had a plan for his life, a wonderful plan, gave him dreams, said, "Joseph, even your own father and mother are going to bow down to you." But do you remember what the first element of God's plan for Joseph was? Was it to put him in the palace and let him rule? No. He had to go down into the pit. He had to go down before he could go up. See, that's the way it works. God has to prepare us. And the only way that He can prepare us is He's got to take us through some things that we wouldn't want to go through. God knows that He has to develop our character. And why is character so important? Your character determines the results you're going to get in life. Your character determines the results you're going to get in life. Because we found out that your character determines the decisions that you make and what you will do in any situation in life. Character is that internal set of values and qualities that determine how you will behave in any situation. Your character is that internal set of values and qualities that determine how you will behave in any situation. And that's the reason why your character will determine the results you get in life. God is interested in people with godly character. Why? Because God desires that our lives would glorify Him. A person with godly character is somebody God can count on to glorify Him by their behavior in any situation. That's what it means to have godly character. That person can be counted on to glorify God in any situation by their behavior. On the other hand, a person who does not have godly character can be counted on to misbehave in such a way as to glorify themselves instead of glorifying God in any circumstance in life. See, God can't elevate you if you do not have godly character. Now today, we're going to deal with diligence. When you start trying to walk with God, start trying to live in such a way that your character is being developed in a godly way, you know where the devil is going to come after you? It's in this area of diligence. We read this morning from Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. You remember the story. Jesus said a sower went out to sow, and he cast his seed upon various kinds of ground. He cast his seed out, and the birds came and ate it up. And when the disciples asked him, well, what was that all about? Jesus said, well, look, that seed is the word. And when it's cast out there onto that ground, and that ground is hard, then the devil comes and plucks it out of people's hearts. So that even before it has an opportunity to take root, it's removed. But if you know Christ, you know what happened? He didn't get your seed. He didn't get your seed. If you have accepted Christ, that means that word fell upon some ground where it was able to take root in your life. But that doesn't mean you're home free. Remember what happened next? It says that some of it fell upon stony ground. Jesus said, those are the people when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with gladness, it says. But they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, they stumble. And then it tells us there was a third category. Those are the ones where the word, the seed, was sown among thorns. And it says that those sown among thorns, they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. And then there's the final category, the one where we all want to be, amen? Where the word was sown on good ground, and those who hear it accept it, and they bear fruit. And it says some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, what I want to draw your attention to are the two in the middle. Watch what happens with the two in the middle. The Bible says that that word was sown into these people's lives. They heard the gospel. They heard the word of God. And they received it with joy. They received it with joy. They said, hallelujah. They said, this is what I've been wanting all my life. They said, my life is going to change. Praise God. And then two weeks later, something happened, either in their circumstances or just in their minds. And they were no longer moving in the same direction. I have to tell you something. We are a young church. We've already had people who have come and said, hallelujah, praise God, this is what I wanted. My life is going to change. And 2 weeks later, whew, you know why? It says the devil is going to come and he's going to try to pluck that seed up. He's going to want to stimulate you in such a way that the cares of this world, the things that are going on in your life, will cause you to not continue the way that you started, but to give up, to turn around, to let go. You see, that's what diligence is all about. You know what diligence says? Diligence says, once I put my hand to the plow, nothing's going to cause me to turn back. Once I put my hand in Jesus' hand and start walking with Him, nothing's going to cause me to turn back. Nothing's going to cause me to let go of His hand. I'm going to keep going with Him until I get to the place that He has already called me to be. Nothing's going to turn me around. That's what diligence is all about. And the place where the devil will attack you is he will give you all kinds of reasons in situations in your life to turn around and not to continue to walk with the Lord. It'll be time to come to Bible study. And you had a hard day. Oh, I mean, you know, if you could just see what's going on at work, you would understand. I had a horrible day today. I am just too tired and too frazzled to come out to Bible study. You know what the devil is doing? Gotcha. Nuh-uh, no diligence for you. No, you're not going to keep going the way you're going. Just being tired a little bit will turn you around. Or you get up in the morning, your husband looks at you or your wife looks at you, and you can tell they're in a bad mood. And you think back to the evening before, to that fight you had. You realize the fight isn't over. And so you say, hey, I ain't going to church like this. I just don't feel like it right now. Not after we've had a fight and not the way that our attitudes are this morning. I'm not going to church today. I'm not going out to hear the word. I'm not going out so that God can minister to me. I'm not going out so that God can change our attitudes when I know I can't change our attitudes. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay home in bed, or I'm going to stay home and watch football. Oh yeah, football, that'll change my attitude. See, what's happening? The devil is saying, no diligence for you. No diligence for you. He will take anything that he can find in your environment or in your circumstances to turn you around, to keep you from keeping on after Jesus. Why is diligence so important that the devil will spend all this effort to keep us from being diligent? Look at Hebrews 11:6. Why is diligence just so important that God says you must have it as part of your character, and the devil says, not if I can help it? Hebrews 11:6. Look at this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. How? Diligently. It says you can't even get into the flow of the rewards God wants to bring into your life unless you are seeking him. How? Diligently. If you're just kind of floating along, oh, I love the Lord, and I'm going to read my Bible at least once a week for at least 5 minutes, and I'm going to pray every time I think about it, you know, every time it just happens to cross my mind, guess what? That's not diligently seeking the Lord. Amen? And what he says is you can't even get into the flow of his best rewards for your life unless you diligently seek him. That's what the devil knows. That's why he wants to keep you from seeking God. Understand this. It takes diligence on my part in order for me to stay in God's program of development so that he can elevate me to the place that he's designed for me. I will never get there unless I have the characteristic of diligence in my life. If the devil can keep me away from following Christ diligently, he will keep me from ever getting to the place that God wants me to be. I don't even have to ask this question. I know the answer, but I'll ask it anyway. How many of you would like to have greater financial prosperity than you have at this moment? More money. How many? 100%. Amen? Look at this. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Do you know God does want to prosper you? Not only financially, but it includes financially. That's what the word of God says. But how is that going to happen? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just sit back, go find ourselves a nice spot on the beach, and say, I'm a Christian now. And the Bible promised me that God wants to prosper me. I know he's going to do it because God never, ever fails in his promise. So I'm going to sit back. I'm going to pray. I'm going to say, Lord, here I am. Just prosper me, Lord. Hallelujah. And somebody's going to walk up this beach and he's going to bring me my financial prosperity. How many of you know that if you're out there on the beach, you might get a tan, but you will not get blessed financially? That's not the way God operates. What did he say? He said, the soul of a lazy man desires, oh, you're out on the beach and you desire to be blessed. You desire to be financially prosperous. Yes, hallelujah. But he has nothing. Waiting for your ship to come in. No, that's not what God said. What did he say? The soul of the diligent shall be made rich. It takes diligence. It means you got to put your hand to something and say, this is what God has set me to do. This is the career that he's put me in. This is the work that he's called me to. This is the idea that he's given me for a business. Whatever it is, you've got to put your hand to that thing and say, Lord, now by your grace, I am going to pursue this thing diligently. Nothing's going to turn me around. Nothing's going to get me off my game. No matter what comes up, no matter what the distractions are, no matter who comes at me and says, you can't make it. No matter who comes to me and says, no, you don't have the background. You don't have what it takes. It doesn't matter, God. You've called me to this. I know this is what you've given me to do. And therefore, I put my hand to it and I'm going to go for it within the grace of God. And nothing's going to turn me around. Nothing's going to stop. I will never be too tired to do what God has called me to do. I will never be too upset or too frustrated with what's going on in my life to do what God called me to do, because I am committed to diligence, to being diligent about what God called me to. And when I do that, you know what he says? That's when I'll get blessed. In fact, you're in the book of Proverbs. Look at chapter 22, verse 29. It says, seest thou, this is from the King James Version, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. A man who is diligent in his business, diligent in doing the thing that he has set his hand to, God says, I will elevate you. You'll not just come before little people. You'll come before the higher ups. You'll come before people of importance in this world, because you're diligent to do the things that God has called you to do. So you see, we need to have that quality of diligence as part of our character. In anything that we put our hand to, we need to be exhibiting the diligence to keep going, even when the devil throws obstacles in our way, even when the devil tries to discourage us, which he will, even when the devil brings somebody to us to say, there's no way that you will ever succeed in this. Just give up. Just give up. You can't do it. It's a lie of the devil. Understand this. If God has called you to it, if that's the place that God has appointed you to be, if you are doing what God wants you to be doing in your life, there is no person on earth that has the right to come and tell you you can't do it. Don't be distracted by adversity. You're going to have adversity. That's what we've been talking about. But remember, it's all part of God's program. Do not get distracted from the path that you need to walk by adversity. Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. See, adversity is part of the program. It's a normal part of the program. And if we get deflected from our path because of adversity, it shows us that our strength is just a little. The scripture says what? If God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. What God sets up, who can tear it down? See, if God has put you on that path and you pursue that path with diligence, he's made the promise, I'll prosper you. What does it mean to be diligent? There are three elements that we need to look at as part of diligence. We just looked at Proverbs 22:29 in the King James Version, which says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? I want to read it to you now in the New King James, which gives a slightly different twist on that same thing. Proverbs 22:29 in the New King James Version. Do you see a man who excels in his work? You see, one element of diligence is diligence always goes for excellence. Diligence always goes for excellence. In other words, if I am putting my hand to do something, if I am going to do it because I know that God has called me to be doing what I'm doing, guess what? I'm not going to do it halfway. I'm not going to do it just enough to get by. What am I going to do? I'm going to excel in my work. Go over to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. It says, in verse 3, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. Daniel had within him an excellent spirit. We'd say it today, he had a spirit of excellence. He had a spirit of excellence. Whatever he set his hand to, he set his hand to do it the way that it should be done with everything within him. He didn't do it halfway. He didn't make a halfway job of it. I want diligence to be part of my character. And once I set my hand to it, I want to keep going until I accomplish what God has set before me to accomplish. I don't want to do it halfway. I want to do it with excellence. Go over to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, 61 and 62. Here's the second element of diligence. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, once you put your hand to the plow, you don't even look back. You don't look back at, you know, oh, man, this plow sure is heavy. Oh, man, and you know the sun is up and it sure is hot. This is getting tough. I wonder if I should have done this, or maybe I should have waited and done this next year instead of this. Once you put your hand to the plow, what does it say? You don't even look back. You persevere. You keep going. You never stop. You never give up. You never let go. We've already talked about the fact that the devil is going to do everything in his power to knock you off your game. You know that's what the devil does? He tries to distract us. He tries to bring things across our path that will keep us from fulfilling what God wants us to fulfill because we get distracted. Has that ever happened to you? You start doing a task at home and you're cleaning the living room, say, and the TV's on. And you look up, and if you're a man, you notice that the football game is getting ready to come on. Now, if you're a woman, what would it be for you? I don't know. Cooking show, maybe. I don't know. All right. But you notice that one of those things you really like is coming on. So what do? I can finish this later. And so you make the decision. Instead of finishing what you set your hand to, I'm going to let go of it. Oh, I intend to come back. It's just for a moment, but I really want to enjoy this that's happening over here. What happened? You got distracted. You allowed something to come into your life that distracted you from your purpose. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord, how? Without distraction. You cannot fully serve Christ if you allow yourself to be distracted from your purpose by other things that pop in your life that seem like they are more urgent right now, or that they would be more convenient for you to pursue right now, or that it would be more fun for you to do right now. If you allow yourself to be distracted, the devil will always find something to distract you. If you are distractible from the purpose of following Christ, you can be sure that there will come into your life all kinds of upheaval or turmoil or even opportunities to distract you from doing what God called you to do. Everybody here has already confessed that we would like to be financially prosperous. And so somebody comes along and offers you a job. It's a wonderful job. Great raise in pay, raise in responsibility, name on the door. The only problem is that you're going to have to work every Sunday and every Wednesday. And so you can no longer come to church. What's that? Is that a gift from God? Is that what God has given you in order to prosper you? What's that? It's a distraction. It's a distraction. See, that's the kind of hard decision that we have to make sometimes, isn't it? if we're going to put our hand to the plow and not be turned back, not be distracted, it won't only be the bad things that come up. You know that the devil can give you good things? Do you know that? I mean, we talk about it so often. When you get ready to trap a mouse, what do you offer him? You offer him something good. Looks good, smells good, tastes good. Isn't that right? You give a good thing. But what's the purpose? Spring that trap. That's the way the devil operates. He's in the business of springing the trap. And so even when he offers something good, you have to ask the question, is this something that will distract me from my purpose of following God diligently? If it will distract me from that, I have to let it go. The final thing that we want to be sure of in terms of diligence in our life. Go over to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. The third element of diligence that we need to have is focus. You need to know what God has called you to do, and you need to stay focused on that thing. Everybody here drives a car. Now, suppose you got out and went out and got in your car today and said, well, I think I'm going to go down to Carlisle. And you know, it was a long service today. It's not long, but you're saying it was a long service today and I'm kind of tired. I think what I'll do is I'll point my car in the direction of Carlisle and then I'll just sit back and relax and let the car go on to Carlisle on its own. Anybody want to try that? Please warn me because I don't want to be on the road when you try it. Why? Because now you've got a slack hand, right? Instead of having your hand on the steering wheel, giving guidance and direction, keeping your car on the road, keeping it moving along at the pace it's supposed to move, keeping it in the lane it's supposed to be in, watching out for other drivers and adjusting to them as they come in and out and go around you and come up behind you and all of those things. Instead of doing all of that, you simply let go and said, well, what will happen will happen. And if you do that, what will happen? You're going to have a wreck. Amen. And what the scripture is telling us is that if we approach life with a slack hand, if we are not paying attention to the things that are happening in our life, to give them the proper guidance, to keep them on track, if we are not on top of the things that we need to be on top of, we'll have a wreck in our lives. If you're going to be diligent, you're going to have excellence, you're going to have perseverance, and you're going to keep focused on what God has called you to do. Whatever you set your hand to, do it with all your might.